Thank you. Well, we appreciate everything. We enjoyed eating at the restaurant. I was telling them, last time Rhonda and I went to a Mexican restaurant out in Oklahoma, Brother Wade Simmons, Brother Wade went to the restroom, and the waitress got an order, and they brought all the stuff, you know, they bring the cheese and the chips and all that stuff. Rhonda and I were sitting there, and I heard a voice say, "Y'all are a nice-looking couple." I looked around. Who said that? Said, "Ma'am, your hair sure looks good today." I said, "Who said that? I don't see anybody." So the waitress come back. I said, "Ma'am, we're hearing voices here at this table." She said, "Oh, don't worry about it, sir. It's the chips. They're complimentary." Wasn't that terrible? They did the same thing up at White Plains Sunday. But you know, we live in an age of infidelity, unbelief. These two guys, this is a true story. I'm not preaching now, amen. But these two guys were arguing about Noah's Ark. And the guy said, "There's too many fantasies in the Bible. I just can't believe them." And the guy said, "Give me an example." He said, "Well, that ark, that Noah's ark," he said, "how big was that?" He said, "Well, it's about 450 feet long, you know, about 70 feet high, 50 something feet wide." "Why?" He said, "See, that proves it's a lie." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There's no way in the world those priests could have carried that thing over the Jordan River." And the reason why some of you are not laughing, you may not know there's two arcs. True story. Preacher I know was at a museum, and he was taking the tour, you know, and this little young girl about, she's about 18, and that's young compared to me. But she said, "Now this dinosaur here, this skeleton, we estimate this dinosaur here is 1,004,000 years old." He thought, that's odd, you know, to have that particular number. So after the tour, he got her aside. He said, "Young lady, you said that that dinosaur there was 1,004,000 years old. How did y'all arrive upon that?" She said, "Well, when I started working here, it was 1,000,000 years old, and I've been here 4 years, so it's 1,004,000." Woo! True stories. Strange but true. And truth is stranger than fiction. You know that, don't you? Amen. It's such a blessing to be here. I'm going to try, by the grace of God, to laugh and be happy until the Lord comes. Amen. Amen. I tell people that I like to talk, and I do like to talk. Any preacher likes to talk, but I like to talk because I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle when I was a kid, you know. And the young folks, until this recently, they didn't know what a phonograph was. Now they're coming out with those big black records again, the little hole in the middle, you know, cut the needle. All right, never mind. Yeah. It has a needle on it, all right? So, all right, we're going to try to finish up, Lord willing, by the grace of God, the message that we started this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for your mercy and grace. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the precious blood that cleanses from all sin. We're glad, Heavenly Father, that you not only died and shed your spotless, sinless blood, but you resurrected from the dead to justify us in the sight of a holy God. And we're thankful and grateful, Father, for every aspect of the gospel and for the death, burial, resurrection that we enjoy as a child of God, realizing that this is exclusive of any other religion in the world. And I just pray now, Father, you'd watch over us tonight and help us, God, as we try to continue to bring this message. We pray not only for this dear one, God, that is dealing with this birth of the child, but also for Miss Katie and Brother Timothy. We pray you'd help them as well, God, and that your loving hand will be upon them. And we'll thank you for what you do and praise you in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm glad for that name, Michael Ray. That's great. That honors both Michael and Brother Ray. And Brother Ray's a good friend of mine. I've told you before here that my daddy wanted to name me out of Acts 1 and Luke 1, Theophilus. He took a look. He says, "The baby I've ever seen in my life." Just kidding. my baby pictures are a thing to behold, I have to say, and it didn't get much better as the years went by. But no, Mama wanted to name me Mitchell, and she didn't know that that means the same thing as Michael, like unto the Lord. And when I found it out, I said, Mama, you sure blew it there. That's for, oh, Lord. But I'm thankful we can laugh and have joy in our heart. We might as well. The country's falling apart. You might as well do like Nero did when Rome was burning. Might as well get a fiddle and start fiddling. Amen. He burned it down and blamed it on the Christians. That's right. We can't get along with anybody, can we? All right. Look at it now. We talked about this morning, our message, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? That's the only way of salvation. You think about all the religions of the world, and all the religions of the world are doing. Christianity's done.
That's right.
It's done. Jesus Christ finished it. He said, it is finished. That means the end of it. That's all that needs to be done for salvation. And of course, I'm thankful that he rose from the dead. But when he was on that cross, in his mind, he knew that he was going to die, and nobody took his life from him. He laid it down. Amen. I think I talked about it down here about John 10:16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, I've always taught and believed that that's the church coming in, the Gentiles coming in, and I still believe that. But the more I study the scripture, I look at that when Jesus Christ was ministering there down in Judah, and the 12 tribes, 10 of them were scattered abroad all over Israel and up in Samaria. And so mainly what Christ was doing at that time is upon the Jews down in Judah, although the Israelites are Jews as well, but the work was being done down in Jerusalem and Judah. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, not of this fold here, not of this Jerusalem fold. I got to bring them too. And you know, I believe that and know that's right is because Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37 said, God said he had two sticks and one of them is Jerusalem and the other is Samaria. He said, I'm going to put those two sticks together and they're going to be one stick. Right? And that's a type of our salvation. For two saith he shall be one flesh. Amen. Not only that, it's a type of the prodigal son. One left and came back. That's the way it is. I mean, that's the way God does things. And he's a God of, thank God, a God of unity when it's in the spirit.
Yeah.
Now, truth is more important than unity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can take two cats and don't do this, but you can take two cats and tie them together and you'll have unity, right? You'll have unity, but it won't be in the spirit. I mean, they'll be fighting one another, but I mean, in fact, the unity is important, but ecumenicalism is not important. It's satanic. So we get together on truth and not error. That's right. Something I always need to remember. Well, I don't want to cause division. Christ did.
Yeah.
No, sometimes you have to. We stopped off. Number one, we said Christ's blood does not just cover sin, it cleanses sin completely. The only one that'll bring your past up is the devil and Baptist preachers.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes I think they're kin to one another, but some of them I know anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm an evangelist. I learned that some pastor's favorite verse is John 15, verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You'll get that in a minute. But anyway, number two, we talked about Christ's cleansing blood fits you for the baptismal waters. You and I are not fit for the water till we go through the blood. You say, Brother Mitch, is that a process? No, that's an instantaneous act. B.R. Lakin, Bascom Ray Lakin, said that if salvation were a process, it would take a lifetime to perfect it.
Right.
You'd work on it all your life. And still, I mean, there's still people in this world today, you ask them if they're saved, they say, I'm trying to be. I hope I am. I'm working at it. Well, I'm not. It's finished. You ask any Catholic priest, are you going to heaven? Well, nobody can know that. Well, I do know that.
Yeah.
No, you can't. Nobody. Just call you a liar to your face. I said, look at me. I've told him, I said, look at me with these big fat face and these little beady eyes. I said, I know that I'm going to heaven. How you think you can know you're going to heaven? Because it's not of me, it's of him.
That's right.
That's simple, isn't it? And it's an instantaneous act. When you get saved by the grace of God, God takes you and he cuts away that stinking flesh away from the soul and spirit and circumcises your flesh away from your soul and spirit. Amen. Makes your spirit alive. That's why you're born again and you're saved, because your soul is lost.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why God uses both terms, saved and born again. Right. Now, hyper-dispensationalists don't understand that, but there's a lot of stuff they don't understand. But anyway, you're spiritually circumcised. You're sealed to the day of redemption. The devil can't get you. Amen. You're in God's hand. Nobody can get you out of God's hand. Now, keep in mind, we said this morning you belong to God, so you can't live the way you want to. You must live the way the Lord wants you to. Say why? Because he owns you. Amen. If I buy a car, I'm going to drive it. The Lord bought you and I so he can use us, amen, the way he sees fit. And folks, listen, when we do that which is not pleasing to the Lord, he chastens you in different ways. Most time it's inside. What that don't do, he starts working on your flesh. And he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know who the Lord uses as a rod and staff? He'll use the devil. Yes, he will. To get us back in line, straighten us up and get us back in line. He uses the devil. The devil will do nothing God doesn't allow him to do. But the Lord will use those means to get us straightened out. And then sometimes, and I have known cases where when that didn't work, he'd take you home. Amen. That's right. But folks, I want you to notice number three tonight as we talk about, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Christ's blood, number three, prepares you for heaven, not just for paradise.
Yeah, right.
In the Old Testament, went to paradise. Now, we mentioned this morning. Look at Romans chapter number 3. You say, Brother Mitch, you're going to have to prove that to me. Well, I can't prove it, but the Scripture can. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 3, in verse number 21, Romans 3:21, are you there?
Amen.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Why, folks, we've got to get saved by that faith. We live by that faith. Galatians 2:20 and 21. Notice this. The Bible said, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's me, that's you, that's your grandmother, your aunt, your uncle, and your cousins by the dozens. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. No exceptions. All right, notice this. Except Jesus Christ. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Notice this, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Those sins that were foreborn in the Old Testament and just covered, there were saints went to paradise when Christ died. He finished that atonement, thank God, and took those down there to the third heaven in the presence of the Father and gave gifts unto men. Ephesians chapter 4. People say Old Testament, New Testament's different. How can this person even think that? Have you got the power here to put your head on your child or your grandchild and say, this is what's going to happen to you and it'll happen? They did in the Old Testament, the patriarchs. You can't do that. Don't tell, my goodness, man. Listen, folks, I'm not bringing an ark and building an ark to get away from the judgment. I'm not bringing a lamb in here on this communion table and slaying that lamb.
You're right.
There's at least difference in the Old New Testament. You know that.
Right.
Well, you rightly divide a word of truth. You've got to realize that everybody in this Bible lived at a different time period.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that this book you've got in your lap, it's a miraculous book. It's not only for you, but it was for Old Testament saints, it's for church age saints, it's for tribulation saints, and it will be for millennial saints. They're going to have to know the truths of this book. This book's pretty important, right? But as you and I are concerned, salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, and that's the Bible. That's just not Baptist doctrine. That's Bible doctrine, but that's the doctrine of real Bible-believing Baptists all the way back to the time of the apostles. They weren't always called Baptists.
Yeah.
They were called Bogomiles. They were called Petrobrusians. They were called Pauliceans, Henricans, or Henriceans, but they've always believed the same book, yeah. Salvation by grace through faith. And then Rome called us Anabaptists. Because when somebody got saved out of Catholicism, they got scripturally baptized, and Rome didn't recognize it. They said, you've already been baptized as a baby. You're a rebaptizer. You're an Anabaptist. That's Latin for re, Anabaptist. Then they just dropped the Anna and called us Baptists. Thank you for giving us our name. I appreciate that a whole lot. Amen. But us Baptists, our authority's always been the Word of God. That's why we can't get along with this stinking world.
Amen.
This world hates the Bible. If you don't believe it, put some of them signs on the back of your vehicle. Right. They'll show you their age or IQ or give you the one finger salute. I mean, you know how it goes. People just ignorant, you know. And I always say, yeah, I think you're number one too. Anyway, notice this. The sins that are past. When Christ died, all the sins of the world were put under that, thank God, that washing away of the sins. And then after that, you go to heaven when you die.
Amen.
Now, folks, that's Bible doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. Why would that be necessary if the Old Testament, New Testament was the same? Well, it's not. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, most of the people that I deal with and have dealt with, some people read the Bible too quickly. You know, don't read the Bible so fast that you're trying to get it read through, read the Bible slowly where God can speak to you.
Yeah.
That's my suggestion after 45 years of reading the Bible. These young people blessed my heart getting up here quoting this scripture. I didn't know those scriptures until I was about 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? And I was raised in two Southern Baptist churches. But I didn't read the Bible. When I tried to read it, it'd tear me in from limb to limb, and I'd quit reading it, put it up, and wouldn't read it. You say, why? Because I like the sin I was committing. And that book's against that sin.
Right.
But notice here, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, let me read it how most religious people or most preachers or a lot of Bible teachers read it. They'll read it like this in verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's not the way that passage is read. Punctuation makes all the difference. You say, prove it. Okay, I'll let the Bible prove it. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. This church is not built upon apostles and prophets. It's built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. When you folks built these walls and put the ceiling, you didn't put cement block in the ceiling. Amen? You didn't pour a footing and put it up in the ceiling. You pour that to set these brick on. This church is built upon that foundation. The church was built upon a Jewish foundation. Jew and Gentile came later in one body. But all the apostles and every writer in this Bible is a Jew. Whether the world likes that or not, whether they want to admit that or not, it's true. And then you're building. So you don't have apostles and prophets. You say, well, my grandma's an apostle. No, I'm afraid not. Your grandma's not called to preach either. You've heard women preach. It sounds like scratching your fingernails on a blackboard. Sorry, ladies. Just kidding. But, I mean, that's what it sounds like. That's right. That's exactly right. It does. I call them banshees. You know what a banshee is. You ever know what a banshee is? A banshee was a Celtic folklore. It was a female spirit that screamed. That's what a banshee was. And some of them, that's who they sound like. Amen. Will you show me any woman that can be the husband of one wife, and I'll eat my Bible one page at a time. Now, I realize the age we live in, it might be possible, but I mean, that's not what God says. The Bible said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. How in the world could a man be the head of his house and have a wife that's a woman preacher that runs him in the church?
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's called confusion.
Amen.
And God is not the author of confusion.
Yeah.
Say, Brother Mitch, I don't like you. Well, I'm sorry, folks. As I said this morning, I didn't come down here to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth whether it hurts or not. But you know that. I mean, I'm just like I say, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, Brother Mike covered all that stuff. But a woman has a calling. A woman has a calling that men don't have, and that's to bring children into the world. We can't do that. Thank God. But, I mean, that's your calling. That's quite a calling. Amen? That's quite a calling. You say, how do you know? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. You wouldn't either. But there we go. So notice this. He says, there's the answer. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, who will all come into the unity. There's that word. In the unity of the faith. What is the faith? The faith is not your salvation. The faith is the body of truth contained in the scriptures. You can fall away from the faith, but you can't fall away from salvation. That's right. There's apostates in these last days. People that used to stand in a certain position and they fall by the wayside. The Bible said it's going to be that way. I don't like it. You don't like it. But we're living in the last days. Folks, every dispensation in this Bible ends in apostasy. And we're there. You folks are odd. He said, I've always suspected it. Well, you're odd. Right. You're Antiochian Christians. In a church world, in Christendom, professing Christ, it's not. They're Alexandrian. Their translations come from Egypt. Yours comes from Antioch, Syria. That makes you elite to start with. And then not only that, you're in the Laodicean church age, the rights of the people, but you're Philadelphian Christians. You've kept the word of God.
Amen.
That's something to be thankful for. Not proud of, thankful for.
Amen,
there we are. So there's the answer, folks. It's got a purpose, he says, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may what? You want to know what maturity is? You want to know what be perfect is in your Bible? Grow up.
That's right.
Grow up. That's it. We're not supposed to be playing with rattles.
Yeah.
Although some of these kids' toys, a lot of fun to play with sometimes. But we're to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there it is, folks. We're one body. You're not the only body of Christians here tonight, but we're a body of Christians, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been justified by faith. The Holy Spirit of God baptized us into Christ's body.
Right.
And you got Baptists today, Brother Mike, you wouldn't believe it, Baptists that have gone Campbellite on us. They're teaching that every reference to baptism in the Bible is water. And that the Holy Spirit comes in you when you go under the water. Oh yes, I can name a bunch of them. Grieves my pastor to death. Grieves Brother Jeff to death. Because a lot of those fellas have been on the Baptist history tour. And they've gone the other way and gone Baptist brighter. Amen. I'm not a Baptist brighter. I'm a strong Baptist. But folks, I believe more people going to heaven than Baptists.
Yeah.
If you're born again, you're going to heaven. I don't
Amen.
Care what you are.
Amen.
I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I don't care if you're a Lutheran. I don't care if you're Presbyterian or Methodist. You're going into heaven and you're going into rapture.
Amen.
And you're in the bride of Christ. I hope that's plain enough, isn't it? Because I've been accused of being a brider, and so is Brother Jeff. But we're not. I guarantee you, Jeff Fager, there's not an anti-brider. There's not a brider bone in his body. You say, Brother Mitch, I don't know what they... Well, a Baptist brider believes that the only ones going into rapture is Baptist.
Yeah, right.
And that everybody else is coming along, following along later. You can't get that out of the Bible. You can't get that. I'm telling you, folks, a lot of heresy going on out here. You better thank God, and I'm not trying to pat Brother Mike on the back, but when you get home tonight and get on your knees, you better thank God for your church. Because you folks are scarce as hen's teeth, I can tell you that right now. It's bad enough up in Kannapolis, and I know it's bad down here in the eastern part of the state. I've been down here a lot. People that preach and teach the truth. You heard our dear brother say this morning about the number of churches. He's about right, about five churches probably in this area. In our area, I got five Baptist churches within a mile radius of me. I'm not naive to think all of them preach the truth. They've got the truth. There is no excuse, but some people will pay somebody to lie to them and they won't take the truth for free. Do you charge for the truth here? No. All you got to do is come in the building. Brother Mike preached the truth. Amen. That's it. All right. Number four, and I'm done. Christ's blood obtains eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
All of us. I had a friend. He's one of my best friends now, but he was raised in a Free Will Baptist Pentecostal background. We were talking years ago about the security of the believer. Now, Bible-believing Baptists don't believe you can get saved and just live any way you want to. We don't teach that. That's what we've been accused of.
Right.
And we don't use the term falling from grace either. That's got nothing to do with losing your salvation. That's talking about trying to live under the law when you're under grace. Galatians chapter 5. But the fact is, we were talking one day, and I said, Gerald, are you saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. And I said, you sure you are? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I was just asking, just checking. And I said, when did you get saved? He said, 1970. I said, you know you were born again. Yeah. And he started getting a little aggravated with me. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you receive eternal life when you got saved? He said, yeah, I did. I said, you sure it don't start after you're dead? No. I got eternal life when I got saved. I said, if you can lose it, how is it eternal? You know what people out here that believe that mess are doing? They're looking at somebody's life. Instead of looking at the Bible, looking at the Lord, they're looking at somebody's life that came here and made a profession and walked pretty well for a few months and then got back out here in the world. And they said, well, they lost it. No, they never had it. If they had it, God would deal with them. Amen? That's the problem. And we all know people like that. You don't judge the Bible by people. You judge people by the Bible. And the Bible said we are kept by the power of God. Anybody here stronger than God? Anybody? I didn't think so. If you're saved, God's going to keep you. And God's going to watch over you. I said this morning in 1 Corinthians 6 that we are bought with a price. God didn't say he leased us. God didn't say he rented us. He said you're bought. Now, if you're bought, he owns you.
Yes,
he owns me. I can't do just everything that I want to do. And when I do, the Lord lets me know about it.
Amen.
That's right. Look at Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 11, the Bible says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice that holy place. That's what's in your Bible. Holiest of all, a holy place. You know the term holy of holies is not found in the King James Bible? That's found in the American Standard Version and Revised Version. Yes, every preacher I know, including myself for years, said Holy of Holies. Not in the Bible.
Amen.
It's not in this King James Bible. That's how easily we can be deceived.
Yeah.
You know, every tub must sit upon its own bottom.
Right.
Well, that might be true, but it's not in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness, right? It's not in the Bible. Yeah, not in the Bible anywhere, but I mean, it's true. I mean, it's the truth that God wants us to be clean in body, soul, and spirit, right? You say, Brother Mitch, no, the Bible talks about sin, and then it says, having cleansed ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. perfecting holiness and the fear of God. I've preached this here before, but I've come into church many, many services, not only where I go now for 20 years, but when I was at New Testament, I'd come in and I'd be just clean as a pin. I took me a good bath, you know, scrub my navel and behind my ears and in my ear, come to church, back door just as clean as a pin, but my spirit stunk to high heaven. Why? Because I had anger. I had enmity against somebody. Oh, those are things people can't see, but God can.
Yes,
so that's why he told us in 1 Corinthians 7:1 to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they get cleanliness is next to godliness. That phrase is not there, but I mean, it's like the epistle dedicatory in the King James Bible. It's not scripture, but it's scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our Bibles, they don't even have it in the front of it like they did. You say, why? Well, they had to get rid of that. Thomas Nelson couldn't have it talking about popish persons since Thomas Nelson was a Catholic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. I remember, let me throw this in while I'm speaking. I'm about done, but 2011 when they had the quarter centenary for the King James Bible, we Bible believers celebrated the 400th anniversary of our Bible. National Geographic come out with a spread on the King James Bible, and it was very unflattering. And when I looked to see who it was by, it was by Adam Nicholson, and then I realized why it was unflattering. He wouldn't know a Bible if it'd slap him upside the face. But he talked about the translators drinking wine and getting drunk, which is not true. It's a bunch of bold-faced lies. But I said, why would they print that? Then I've got to looking at Rupert Murdoch's conglomeration or his subsidiaries, and he owns National Geographic. He also owns Zondervan Publishing, which not only publishes the NIV, but Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. Then I said, oh, if it don't make sense, what the old folks say, there's a buck in it.
Amen.
If it don't make any sense, there's a dollar bill for somebody somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Oxford used to print that. Brother Jeff and I, he used to carry the one that Rock of Ages got. They gave it to Rock of Ages, but they had a footnote in there in Mark 16 that went against the Scofield note. You know, Oxford prints the Scofield Bible, and it's one that Doug Stauffer put in there in that Oxford edition, the Pilgrim Bible, and magnify the truth about that. So Oxford suddenly led to give the book to the Rock of Ages prison ministry and quit printing it. Why? Contradicted the Scofield Bible in Mark 16, where it says the two best manuscripts don't have the last 12 verses of Mark, but the 600 did. Now, I'm not real smart. Y'all already know that. You know, I was not good in math in school, but I don't believe that 2 is greater than 600, do you?
No.
And see, you read this stuff and you see it, it makes you so mad that you could bite 20 penny nails and spit out thumbtacks. But you know, you just preach against it, and that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying. They're liars, folks. They're liars, and they're lying to people for a dollar bill. That's what it's all about. They've sold their soul for a dollar bill, all of them, all of them. Well, it's our fault, Brother Mike, because if all of us Baptists that believe the book, really believe the book, would have got together and printed Bibles and not turned it over to Thomas Nelson, we'd be better off, wouldn't we? It's like the Old Testament. The Jews were supposed to keep the Bible in print. Did they? Did they keep it in print? Why come Josiah didn't have one, had to find one in the temple? He was living for God by what the prophets were preaching and didn't even have a Bible. And when he got the Bible, Hilkiah brought it unto him. He rent his clothes when he read it. Right? Josiah, one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. Now look with me, if you will. Romans 5, and I'll be done. My conclusion, Romans 5. What's our message? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? Are you? If you're not, you're not saved.
Right. Yeah, amen.
I mean, that's not what Brother Mitch says. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, look at it closely, because this is the only time that you'll find the word atonement in the New Testament. And the modern versions change that to reconciliation. No, what happened between you and I when Adam fell? We were at enmity against God through Adam, right? We were at variance one for another. We need someone to bring us together. As in at one ment.
That's right.
We were two. We had to come together in Christ at one ment, right? Not just reconciliation, atonement, at one ment. I mean, you can see that in the Word. Notice, he says, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Thank God for that. That's true not only for not going to hell, but not here in the tribulation period.
Amen.
God, he said, God shall keep us from that day of wrath.
Yes, sir.
Now look. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Well, there's that word. It's already in the text. To God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We're at variance with God. Now we're one. 81 times that word atonement is used in the Old Testament, one time in the New, and it's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they want to take it out of the text and put reconciliation. You already got reconciled twice in the text. God said atonement, at one-ment. I'm at one with the Lord now through Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
so
amen.
Are you.
Amen.
Folks, listen here. Would they put Christ up on that cross? And they hung him between heaven and earth because the world said, we don't want him, God. You take him. God says he's got sin on him. He has to pay for that sin. And Jesus Christ reached down and he took you and I by our hand. And he reached up and he took God the Father by his hand. And he brought us together between heaven and earth and made an atonement for all of us. Now, you can't beat that.
Amen.
You can't beat that. I don't care who you are or what you are, you can't beat that. We've received the atonement through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you've received it, you know it. Mm-hmm. If you don't know it, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody as big as God comes inside of you, you are going to know it.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Colossians 1, verse 12, and I'm done. Colossians 1, this is our conclusion. What's our question tonight? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? I say yes. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Are you? Notice Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who made us meet? Who made us worthy? Who made us able?
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Yes,
who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I got to thinking one day about all these Bible perverters, and I had to repent and straighten myself out because I used to say Bible correctors. And then I realized you can't correct the Bible.
Yeah.
So that's wrong. So I started using what I should have been using to start with, Bible corruptors or Bible perverters. You can't correct the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. So they're not Bible correctors, they're Bible perverters. And some of them, my dear friends, are for sale to the highest bidder. That's why I call them translation harlots. Because that's exactly what they are. They've sold theirself for a mess of pottage. Just like Esau did. Look here now. The Bible says, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I got to thinking about one day about all these men saying the King James Bible's been mistranslated. I said, what if the rapture takes place? They're mistranslated. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a translation from this earth to heaven. Maybe they'll be mistranslated.
Yeah.
I'd rather take my 357 Magnum, put one shell in it, spin it around, stick it to my head, and pull the trigger than to mess with one word of this book right here.
Amen.
And I mean that. God knows I mean that. I'm not going to mess with it.
Amen.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Perfect example, Colossians 1:14, and most every modern version takes through his blood out. There is no redemption except through the blood
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's still living. He's not over in Mecca moldering somewhere in the grave.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, Jesus Christ is the right hand of the Father, very much alive, and he's making intercession
Amen.
For you and I.
Amen.
And he's speaking to your heart tonight. If you're saved by the grace of God, that thank God, but folks,
yeah.
we got a life to live. We got a life to live that is supposed to show to others that we indeed are washed in the blood of the Lamb of God.
Amen. Let's sing that tonight. Amen. Everybody stand.